Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song, and that is so true. That's Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you have to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and then call upon Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you from your sin. Praise the Lord for that song. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. This last few weeks, we've been looking at this passage of Scripture in Matthew and then also in the book of Luke as it records for us the temptation of Christ, the temptation of Christ. And there's been so much here, and it's something that I trust that God is working and being a help to you as we've been preaching on the temptation of Christ. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read this again, for chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 11. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and in him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place of worship. Thank you for what we've experienced thus far. And now, Father, we pray as we have read this passage of Scripture, and we are looking into this passage of Scripture for you to speak to us. And I just pray, God, that everyone here would have a heart and a mind to hear what you have for them and make whatever application necessary. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The temptation of Christ, a 40-day battle, a 40-day battle with evil. There was more at stake with all humanity than all other wars combined. We've somewhat looked at this in the last week and understanding that there's been a lot of world wars, there's been a lot of wars in the history of humanity, but all of those combined would not equal what was at stake at this battle with the temptation of Christ. This New Testament church age that we're living in today, we have the greatest help available on how to overcome Satan's temptations. But we also have, as the example that Jesus Christ has set for us, the fact that Satan is the tempter and he will tempt. But we have the example of Christ to look to know how he was able to overcome and to win this great battle with the devil. Right after Jesus' baptism, we heard the voice, and people at the baptism heard a voice from heaven say this in verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17, right before the temptation, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son. God making sure that those around would understand this, they heard the voice from heaven, said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Satan was, from that point, after this, then he would tempt him. And the first temptation that Satan would use against the Lord Jesus Christ is turn stones into bread. Satan tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread. There was no food around. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Physically, his body was at the brink of death. What his physical body needed more than anything else would have been food or nutrients. Satan took that and he tempted him to turn stones into bread. This would be Satan's appeal to the flesh. And as we read this and study this, I believe it's recorded for us to understand the battle that we face on a regular basis. Satan comes to tempt us every day of our lives. And one of the things that he will use to tempt us with is the flesh. Satan's attempt to appeal to the flesh of Jesus Christ. As long as we live in this physical body that all of us possess, Jesus lived in, he was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. But he had the very same physical flesh that you and I do. As long as we live in this physical body, we will face this kind of temptation every day of our lives. And many face it without ever realizing where it's coming from. Satan gets so many victories in people's lives because they are ignorant of what is taking place in their lives. In the book of Romans in chapter 5, I'm just laying the foundation here for you this morning, so follow with me or let me read it to you. In Romans in chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "For they that are after the flesh," that means that you are letting the flesh direct you, letting the flesh have more influence over you than the Spirit. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Having the Spirit having more influence over my everyday life, or allowing the flesh to have influence over my everyday life. The Bible goes on to say, "For to be carnally minded," and that is physical, fleshly minded, "is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So ultimately, the end result of sin is death. And the Bible says, as we are carnally minded, if we allow the flesh to control our thinking, then it's going to lead to a death. But if we allow the Spirit to lead us, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be when you're living in the flesh and listening to the lust of the flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh, allowing the flesh to control your thinking and your living, cannot please God. You will never do a right thing by yielding to the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we find here that the Bible reveals to us that we have the influence of the flesh, and Satan is going to work through the influence of our physical flesh on a regular basis. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 is Jesus addressing Peter and the disciples. He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Revealing to us that Satan is going to work through the flesh to tempt us to go opposite whatever God's will is for our lives. The flesh is weak, meaning for us that it is vulnerable to sin. So it should not surprise us that the very first of the three temptations that Satan brings at Christ after he had already been fighting with evil spirits for 40 days. He'd been fasting for 40 days. Now Satan himself brings these three temptations, and it shouldn't surprise us that the very first temptation is that of the flesh, appealing to the flesh of Christ. Satan uses temptations. First of all, here, as we look at this, understand some things that the Bible gives us concerning this temptation of Christ is that Satan came to Christ. In verse 3 it says, and when the tempter came to him, he came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. That was the temptation. Satan came to Christ. Can I tell you that Jesus was led into the wilderness? Now that's what verse 1 says. And Jesus was led up into the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now he was led into the wilderness, an easier place for Satan to tempt him. He was led away from spiritual help, if you will. That's what the Bible is revealing to us here. But he did this. God's plan was to allow Christ to come under the greatest temptation possible, to be an example for humanity to know how we can overcome the temptations that Satan is going to throw at us on a regular basis. So he did this purposefully. He went away from spiritual help into a place of wilderness where it would be easier for Satan to be able to tempt him. He did that purposely. Can I tell you this morning that we should not make it easier for Satan to tempt us by going to where he's at? What do you mean by that, preacher? Away from God's help. Away from the influence of God, away from the influence of the Bible, away from the influence of Christianity, and going to places that are somewhat under the influence of the devil and the things of the world. We have to be careful there. We should not put ourselves in a place where it's easier for Satan to tempt us. But even if you don't, understand this. He'll come to you. Do you know there's people that have been tempted sitting in a church service? To have the wrong thoughts? To focus on the wrong things? Even in a worship service? Because Satan will come to you. Even if you don't go to where he's at, you mark it down. The Bible records to us that even though Jesus was out in the wilderness and he was to be an example for us to know how to overcome it, when he went into the wilderness, Satan came to him in the wilderness. And he'll come to us as well. He came to Jesus and tempted him to turn stones into bread. Now, we could live a lifetime and never have Satan himself tempt us. Because Satan is not God. Satan is only one created being. He has a powerful influence. But he has evil spirits, if you will. An innumerable amount of seducing spirits. And even though you might not have a confrontation with the devil himself, you will have confrontations with these seducing spirits. Matter of fact, if you will, look with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, just to help you to understand, this is what the Bible says. This temptation of Christ is an example that Christ has for Christianity to learn from. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Spirit of God, revealing to us truth, that in the latter times, as we come into this New Testament church age, especially as we get to the latter end of the church age, the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we find that to turn away from the doctrines of Christ and to turn away from the ways that God would have us to live, there's going to be temptations to do that. And the temptations are going to come from seducing spirits. It's things that we fight and confront on a regular basis. The Bible says, if you would look in the book of Job in chapter 1, because we find here that the great temptation of Job to turn away from God when all the different trials were coming upon him, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 7, as God addressed Satan, and that's where he came from, and he says, I come from to and fro, and going all around the world. The Bible says that he was up and down and to and fro on the earth. It means that Satan has access to this planet Earth. He has influence around the globe. Now you say, how is that possible? Can I tell you, in our society today, I've been on many a mission field, and you go into some of these, even somewhat jungles of Bolivia, I've been in them, and go back, and they have computers. I'm thinking, how in the world? I mean, they are destitute of a lot of things, and yet they have access to computers and cell phones. Everybody seemed to have a cell, even in the villages. And can I tell you that around the world today, the whole world, I don't think you go to very few places where they would not know the name Donald Trump. Because of what has taken place in the elections of the United States of America, they know that some of them look favorably on the United States. Many of those around the rest of the world look to us as a great devil, however it might be. And now they see Donald Trump as the president of the United States. And can I tell you that one man's influence, and this is just one human, can be known by the entire world. Satan is just one created being. But he has an innumerable amount of seducing spirits. And they walk to and fro on the earth. They come in and out to seduce mankind, to blind mankind to the reality of God and God's will for their lives. Wow. Satan will come to us. Even if you don't go to him, he'll come to you. The second thing that we find here is he will appeal to our physical appetites. Verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now he tries to put doubt in his mind. If thou be, he just heard God, a voice from heaven, say, this is my beloved Son, whom I am very well pleased. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you will, don't deny yourself what you can supply. He appeals to the flesh, and today he'll do the very same thing to you. He says to you, don't deny yourself what you can supply. If it feels good, go for it. If you want it, don't let anybody tell you it's wrong. If you live by the flesh, you cannot please God, but Satan is going to try to tempt you through your flesh. Make yourself bread out of stones. See, Satan will work in a way to give us what we want or even think we need. But it will be based on the physical and not God's will. It'll be based on the physical. Think I can't live without that. I have to have this. I have to have this enjoyment. I have to do this. But it's based on the physical. See, bread was never intended to be made from stones. So he's trying to get Jesus to work against the laws of nature, against what God had established. It wasn't God telling him to turn the stone into bread. He could have done that. Not that he couldn't do it. He created the entire universe. But it wasn't God telling him to do that. It was Satan telling him to go opposite what God has established by nature. And something that would have been his greatest physical need. And if he had gone by the lust of the flesh, or if he had gone by what he needed physically, he would have turned the stones into bread, because he could have. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Verse 17. No matter what's going on in your life, can I tell you, God has a plan. The worst thing you could do is listen to suggestions of the devil and act according to your physical flesh and what you think you want, what you think you need. The worst thing you could do is to give in to the temptations of the devil and how you think and how you live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us." The Bible doesn't say that Christian life is going to be without any trials, going to be without any suffering, going to be without any need. It doesn't say that. "For our light affliction," whatever that affliction might be, "which is but for a moment in comparison to eternity, worketh for us." God says, I have a purpose for working that in your life. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Satan is going to try to tempt you through the flesh. He's going to try to tempt you by what you can see. He's going to try to tempt you to give in to whatever you want and you think you need. And the Bible says, God says, don't listen to the suggestions of the devil. Keep your faith in me. Wow. Satan's greatest temptations come when we're in need physically. When you're in need, there's going to be a suggestion from the devil. It's what you look to is going to determine the outcome of that physical need. If you look to the flesh, it's not going to be good. If you look to the Spirit, God has promised, if you look to Him, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll not allow more to come on you than what you're able to bear, and with that, be able to have a way of escape. I know what I'm doing, God says. God says that there is a plan for your life. There's a purpose for your life. Do not believe the lies of the devil. Do not give in to the temptations of the flesh. Keep yourself online by looking to me. Amen. Yeah. Those greatest temptations come when we're physically in need, when we're hurting, emotionally, somebody's done us wrong. You want to get in the flesh. And that's the last thing that you want to do. They come when we're depressed. They come when we're overwhelmed. They'll come when we're disappointed. And they'll come when we're discontent. We have to be prepared for them. Yeah. Jesus was prepared. Been fasting 40 days. We find that Satan come to him. In the area that he was the weakest in his physical body, turn these stones into bread. Yeah. His response, look here with me, chapter 4 and verse 4. In his physical weakest state of being,
when food was something that he would have looked to and his body would have been craving, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. My physical needs are not what's most important." "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The response of Christ, listen to me, his response would have been as a 100% man. He was not tempted as God. He put aside his deity to identify with humanity, to give us an example on what we could look to and how we could overcome those things that we are going to face in this life. And we are going to face the temptations of the devil, and we are going to face the lust of the flesh. And when he was put himself in that position to be tempted, he put aside his deity. And he faced it as a man. He did not use any means to defeat the devil's temptations than what we have access to ourselves. He could have, and Satan would have been no more. He created him. He didn't create him evil, but he created him. This is God. He didn't use any means to overcome these temptations than whatever man has access to today. First of all, he was confident in what God had said. If you know what God has said and you're confident in what God has said, Satan can't tempt you with something that is outside of God's will. But if we doubt God's word, we will be more apt to believe what Satan suggests to our minds. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He knew every word. Be confident in what God has said. If you know God has said it, mark it down. It'll never change. No matter how the society changes, no matter what the generation changes that you live in, listen to me, if you know what God has said, it's been written down. We've had it for this entire New Testament church age for 2,000 years. And what God has said, he means, and he will never change it. If you know what God has said, then you will not be able to be convinced of something different. No matter how much your flesh desires it, no matter how much you want and you think you need it, if it's against what God has for you, it is not what God wants you to do. Know what God has said to be sin, because it will always be sin. Look at our own society here in America. Just 10, 15, 20 years ago, the things that everyone would have agreed upon, that's sin, no longer seen as sin. It's accepted even within churches today. Satan has appealed to the lust of the flesh to get people to turn away from God. See, identify what is sin. We say, preacher, where do I start? The Ten Commandments would be a good place to start. Where he says to worship God, the God of the Bible, the true God, not just religion. Don't use profanity. Before, we'd have to turn the TV off. We wouldn't let our children watch it. Before, even they wouldn't allow certain things on television. Today, they can take the Lord God's name in vain in primetime television and no one says or thinks anything about it. Wow. Remember the Lord's Day. Keep it holy. You say it's Sabbath day in the Old Testament. No, Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And he's made the first day of the week, Sunday, as the Lord's Day. And he says, acknowledge it and keep it holy. Worship me on that day. Come together, assemble yourselves. Don't forsake that. At one point in time in America, they closed down businesses on Sunday. Whether they went to church or not, they would give you an opportunity to go to church because they acknowledge the need of what the Bible has commanded, a day that is to be kept holy, the Lord's Day. Honor parents or authority. Now we have children being raised that no longer, the last thing that they could think about is doing what mom and dad says to do. And if they don't honor mom and dad, they're not going to honor authority, and they're going to find themselves in jail, leading miserable lives. Do not steal, do not kill, do not lie, do not covet. Things that normally we would say, everybody should know that's sin, but now, as long as you don't get caught, it's okay. We can understand why you would lie about that. You didn't want to own up to the truth. And where are we at? We believe more and we take hope. We listen more to the suggestions of the devil, which is going to lead us and going to, after the ways of the flesh, to get us to turn away from what God would have us to do. We have to know, be confident that I know what the Bible says is sin. Commit to not living in sin. Amen. Just commit to knowing what the Bible says and to not living in sin. Do not commit adultery or yield to sexual sins. Basically, is what he was telling. But Jesus said, bring it all down to two. But what it was saying is, don't yield to sexual sins. But the suggestion is, as long as I'm doing it in my own private room and away from everybody else, it's not hurting anybody else, I can do what I want to do. And why should you care? Let me do what I want to do. Because it affects your mind, and then your mind affects who you're around. It destroys society. It destroys homes. But we convince ourselves somehow, some way, it's justified because I want to do it. Yeah. You don't understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the devil, whose influence is around the world, who's trying to keep all humanity from understanding the will of God for your life. And he's going to appeal to the flesh. If you want to be a victor instead of a victim in regards to temptations, we must know what God has written. It has been written. I'm confident in it. Satan, there's no way you're getting me to change my thinking. It is sin. Yeah. Because it's our faith that overcomes the world. It's our faith in God, our faith in what's written down, that gives us the ability to overcome Satan's temptations. It was not that Jesus could not have made bread out of stone. It was because he would not.
you're going to realize Satan's going to tempt you with something that you can do. It's not that you can't do what he's tempting you to do. It's got to come down to you saying, I will not. Because in taking heed to suggestions of the devil, you turn from God and you listen to an evil voice. Lastly, we find that Jesus chose hunger over sin. Man shall not live by bread alone. He fought off the flesh to focus on the Spirit. He chose hunger over sin. Going without and being in God's will is far better than being in temporarily filled and experiencing the loss of fellowship with God. Because the flesh will not sustain you. And that physical enjoyment that you might receive from that period of time become harder and harder to achieve again. And it'll take you deeper and deeper into that sin, which eventually will destroy your life. How many times have you cried after yielding to the pleasures of sin? And the pleasures of sin, when they wear off, and they will wear off, how has it left you? As a pastor, can I tell you, I've not always responded the way that I should have. I've responded in the flesh sometimes. And it felt good to be able to say what I wanted to be saying all along. And then afterwards you realize, I failed my Lord. I listened to suggestions of the devil and I did what felt good. But when that feeling wore off, I find myself on my knees, on my face before an almighty God and saying, God, forgive me. I failed you. I didn't respond as you would have me to respond. I didn't represent you as I should have represented you. And you find yourself crying. How many have found themselves crying after it was too late? Let me close with this story. A man, so much potential, surrendered his life, married a godly woman, got into the ministry, somehow, some way, convinced himself that he could allow certain types of things to take place. As he started watching pornography in the ministry, Satan presented an opportunity for him to have relations with a teenager. And somehow in the ministry, he justified that. Until he was caught. And he went to jail, lost his family, lost his opportunities to serve, finds himself even today behind the bars of a jail cell, crying because the pleasures of sin had worn off. And he's left with the devastation that it caused not only him, but everyone that he loved. All because of the temptation of the devil working through the lust of the flesh. Let's learn from that. Let's understand what God calls sin. And be determined not to do it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. A great temptation. There was more at stake in Jesus winning this battle with the devil than all the battles that mankind has ever fought. He give us an example of how to get the victory over the devil. Let's take advantage of it. Do not allow Satan to get the victory in your life. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you went through for us. And not only the cross, but this temptation as well. Help us, Lord, to learn from it and be all that you'd have us to be. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.